Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the president is signing a bill with a host of measures to fight climate change. There is money to cut factory emissions, to make our homes and our cars less carbon intensive, and to support green technologies. It has us at Here and Now needing to get a bit smarter on climate change, and maybe you do too? Well, there are a lot of books on the topic, and we've got recommendations now from our bibliophile, Tracy Thomas. She is host and creator of the podcast, The Stacks. Tracy, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Okay, you have several books on your list, nonfiction books you're recommending. I want to start with a collection of essays, All That We Can Save, Truth, yeah. Courage, and Solutions for the Climate Crisis. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's a collection of essays. There's some poetry, a little bit of art. It's all about climate change, and it's all from the perspective of women who are leading the charge against climate change, which I think is fantastic because so much of policy and even just the ways we're talking about climate change have historically been shaped by men. But if we want an all-inclusive form of, you know, fighting against climate change, we need to include all sorts of voices, including those of women and non-binary people. And so this book is really helpful in thinking about, you know, what can we do, what's working. And also, of all the books we're going to talk about today, it's probably like the most hopeful. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but I mean that in a way that the book does sort of lean towards optimism. You know, the title is All We Can Save, which sounds like there's something we can do.
Right, right. For somebody listening who's like, okay, I don't want a series of seven suggested downer books or whatever to read. Yeah. So that's good to hear. Okay, moving on. You want to tell us about Lizzie Johnson's Paradise. It's about the 2018 devastating campfire that consumed the town of Paradise, California. Lizzie Johnson covered this fire for the San Francisco Chronicle. Your thoughts?
I loved this book. It's investigative journalism. And what I like is, unlike the other books that we're going to talk about, this one really puts you, the reader, in a situation of actually experiencing what it would be like to experience a climate disaster. So Lizzie Johnson has interviewed many people who were there in Paradise. She also goes into some of the historical and political context. She talks about the city planning failures around evacuation procedure, around the way the city was built and the roads that leave the town. She talks about PG&E, which is California or Northern California's Pacific Gas and Electric Company, who were ultimately to blame for this. So it's really giving you the perspective of what it's like to live through this horrific fire, and also why this can happen, how this can happen. And then there's some solutions. And I had to be off, to be honest, I had to put it down for a few, like a day, because it made my stomach hurt so bad because I was so stressed out experiencing the fire. It's just so incredibly written and so engaging.
Well, and as we're told, right, climate change is now. The effects of climate change are now. And this is an example of it. Okay, the book Storming the Wall, Climate Change, Migration, and Homeland Security by Todd Miller. Sounds like a whole lot of issues wrapped up in one book. Climate change, migration, homeland security.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we forget about when we talk about climate change is it's not just about things being warmer or colder. It's also about how all of these things affect humans, how they affect vegetation, how they affect policy, how they affect animals. And so in this book, you know, he's really zeroing in on climate refugees and the connection between the people who have been displaced because of disaster and the way that that's impacting border militarization and criminalization of people who are leaving because they're unsafe. And it's not just about the people, but it's also about the companies that are profiting off of this kind of shift in how we look at border security and about, you know, the racial socioeconomic status, the global positioning, all of these things that come into play as we see a shift in relationship to climate.
Yeah, well, I mean, there will always be some winners and losers, right? As the world is changing, there will always be opportunity, as it were, for certain actors with climate change. And we keep reading that climate change, you know, as intelligence and defense analysts put it, is a threat multiplier, right? Just part of how the threats around the world are increasing. Okay, Jessica Hernandez, author of Fresh Banana Leaves, seems to give a very different take on climate change,
Yeah, I love this book, and I'm so glad we're able to include it today, because I think that, like you were saying, you know, there's always winners and losers, but in Jessica Hernandez's perspective as an environmental scientist who is Indigenous, there's a lot more conversation around this inclusive, holistic approach to fighting climate change, where it's not about some people win and some people lose. It's about how can we all heal? How can we all generate as opposed to depleting? Hernandez's sort of perspective comes from case studies in her professional work, as well as family history from the Latin American women and land protectors in her life and her experiences. So it's case studies as well as personal narrative, which I think is a really nice touch, because there's so much history in Indigenous practices that have been ignored when it comes to the discourse and policy around climate change. And Hernandez is sort of asking us to look at what has worked historically for the people who were originally on this land.
Yeah. A lot of nonfiction books, but I want to just ask one more about Under a White Sky, because I know a lot of colleges require incoming freshmen to read this the summer before. My daughter had to read it, and, you know, she brought some interesting conversations to the dinner table about this book. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so it's about how human intervention has, you know, in the past hurt our world, and now that same intervention is sort of being called on to be our only hope in slowing down the climate change issues that we have. So, you know, we're talking to biologists, conservationists, engineers who are, you know, converting power out of sources that have never been used. And it's sort of a scary book to think about, like, where we are. But it's also, again, got a little bit of hope and humor in it. And you're meeting some really interesting, thought-provoking scientists and hearing some really interesting stories about what is working.
Mm. Okay, as we pivot to fiction books on climate change, just first of all, how do novels help us understand an issue like climate change?
So I think, you know, I'll speak for myself. I am not a very science-brained person. And so when I read a lot of science-y nonfiction books, I do struggle. And I found that reading books that are, that sort of, you know, for some people it's very easy. But for me, like, oh man, I really struggle sometimes. But when you read it in fiction, it's kind of easier to feel the human connection to it. It's easier to sort of understand some of the issues in a way that is less numerical or figures based, but more emotional. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So one on your list has an ominous title, American War. And we read that this book centers around a second American Civil War.
Yeah. It takes place, the Civil War starts in 2074. So a little bit in the future.
We got a little time.
Yeah, a little time. Yeah. Let's not get too comfortable, people. Oil is outlawed. There's, you know, contagious diseases. Some of the states like Florida and Louisiana are half or more than half underwater. And we're following a young heroine whose name is Sarah T, but is called Surratt, whose family is displaced by the war after her father is killed. You know, they're sent to sort of a refugee camp. And she's, I guess, radicalized is a way you could say it, to be sort of a figure in the war, a violent figure in the war. And the book is sort of asking us, you know, when nothing else unites us and we are a culture based in violence, whether that's violence against the earth or violence against each other, you know, who do we become? What is holding us together?
Yeah. And there's one more that has a bit of this dystopian feel to it. Diane Cook's The New Wilderness, which, like the American War, pictures a world already devastated as a result of climate change.
Yeah, I really enjoy this book. A few times back, you all had me on to pick about book clubs, and this is a book that the Stacks, my podcast, has actually done for our book club.
There's
so much to talk about in this one. Yeah. A mother volunteers herself and her daughter to leave the city because her daughter is ill due to air pollution and those types of things. And they volunteer to go to this place called the Wilderness State, which has been a protected wild state that no humans have ever lived on as part of this government program. And so the book is obviously about their adjusting and survivalism and how do they interact with the animals and what they're allowed to do and not to do to preserve the wilderness. But also it becomes this really human book about motherhood and parenting and the way that we jockey for positioning and groups and, you know, life and death and all of these things. And it's unlike American War, it's a less tense book. It's actually very sort of moving and gentle literary fiction. It's just placed in a very tense time.
We're talking climate change, the future, climate change, the present, fiction and nonfiction. And we've been talking to Tracy Thomas, host and creator of the podcast, The Stacks. Tracy, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.